from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. We bring you a man whose scent is, it's really nice. I forget exactly how it's described, Mark Grody. Maybe you can fill in the blanks. Maybe you listen.
Old Spice.
Is that what it is? Maybe you listen to your open late at night when lying around the house. But Mark Grody joins us right now on the afternoon show. Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez right here on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Mark? How are you?
My bad cologne choice, because we've all had one. Sometimes you got to grab that cologne right off the shelves at Osco or Walgreens. Jovan Musk for Men.
Oh,
Jovan.
Steph.
Yeah, that was my go-to.
I thought you were going to say Jupe.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's some old school cologne that my cousins used to wear back in the day.
Okay, a little bit of Brute Spiegel, maybe a little Brute, little dash of Brute on the side of the face, maybe. No,
that's what my dad had. My dad had the Brute aftershave, and I always thought it smelled like gin. When I eventually smelled gin, I was like, why would anybody drink my dad's aftershave?
It probably does have a high alcohol content, to be my guess. They need filler in those colognes, you know?
Maybe they did in the 70s. That's for damn sure. By the way, Grody, you'll be part of the cavalcade of fun that is the afternoon show 1 week from today. And you know who you and I are going to talk to a week from today?
I've been hearing rumors about a certain starting quarterback for the Bears that wears number 18.
Yeah, Caleb Williams will be on this show a week from today. And Mark Grody, you and I will be sitting here. So very much looking forward to that.
That is going to be fantastic. I was actually thinking about that. And I was like, there's been so many different interviews with Caleb Williams. He's said a ton. So I will look forward to seeing what you and I can get out of Caleb Williams that people have not already gotten out of him. I'm looking forward to that, man.
Me too, man. Tell us about practice today. What went on at practice, if anything?
It was a weird practice today because this was an originally unscheduled Wednesday practice. And, you know, theoretically, it's because they are not going to play the starters, which everybody knows by now. So, hey, why not sneak in another practice? It was such a light practice, no pads, nothing like that. Not only was it a light practice where they're just kind of moving in slow motion, oftentimes even during 11-on-11, they don't even have their helmets on at times, and they kept taking long breaks too. Like they would go through a few plays or maybe even a set of downs, and then they would just stop for like 4 or 5 minutes, which I don't think I have seen a practice like that. I've seen light practices, but I did not expect that out of these guys today. No music pumping or anything like that, which is always good for us because we actually get to hear coaches coaching and things like that. Now, they are literally leaving for Kansas City today, so as soon as the practice was over, a little bit afterwards, there, you know, 7 or 8 buses lining up outside, and you start to see the players go through the check-in process and all of that to go on the road. So maybe it has something to do with just their travel schedule, but I was surprised, guys, that today was not a more intense practice.
Grody, talk to me about just practices as a whole over the course of training camp. I'm curious how they've evolved, right? Because it would be unfair, I would assume, to think that every practice has been the same, right? So over the course of training camp, how has it evolved in a positive or negative way?
I don't know if it's evolved so much, Gabe, as it's just gotten better, you know, because they really don't change what they do very often, other than, and I know this is not the spirit of your question, other than changing the times of some of the practices to a later afternoon. But they've been pretty regimented in how they go about doing their business as they get here, you know, early in the morning, and they go through their walkthrough that we don't get to watch, the media doesn't watch. Once 9:30 hits, that's usually when they're on the practice field. Then the players speak after that. So the order of things really hasn't changed at all. But I will say that you've seen the right amount of progress in this training camp, which is different from the previous camps. You know, it's easy to want to see the improvement and be like, yeah, you know, they've been in camp for 3 weeks, so everything is better. But actually, it is better. And, you know, we're not just talking about the quarterback. They're starting to figure things out on the offensive line, on the defensive line as well. So I feel like it's evolved into a better product from the beginning.
Mark, you know, it's interesting. I was just reading an article that was ranking all the divisions in the NFL, and they had the NFC North third best of all the divisions, and they expressed concern about the offensive line and the defensive line for the Chicago Bears. And one of the reasons I'm feeling good about the defensive line is Eric Washington, not calling plays as the defensive coordinator, but a renowned defensive line teacher. What are you getting from Eric Washington these days?
Well, I gotta tell you, man, he is getting some great stuff, and specifically from Montez Sweat. Eric Washington shared with us today something that Montez Sweat has been doing that I think is, or did, I don't know if this is something he does often, but you're about to hear it. What Montez Sweat is doing to actually help the offensive line and the offense in general. Listen to Eric Washington.
He's very willing to share, to share what, you know, they give the benefit of his experience, not just with the guys in his position group, but I don't know if you guys noticed, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, Montez was actually speaking to the offensive line about how he sees protection concepts and how he looks to assert himself as an edge rusher. And I thought that, I'm not sure I've ever seen that in my 17 years, but just the fact that he went over to the offensive tackles and gave them some feedback, you know, as far as what he's trying to do and what they can anticipate, I thought was really cool. So it speaks to the leadership, and he also understands that we have to be the sum of our parts. I mean, the group has to be good. Our offensive line has to be good for us to accomplish our goals as a team.
And it's really cool, Groats, because, you know, you even heard Montez Sweat talking about Coach Washington and saying Coach Washington's intensity is contagious. He knows exactly how to get the best out of us, especially on the defensive line. You can tell he's passionate about what he does, and that's motivating for all of us on the field. So you see the trickle-down effect where you're motivating someone, and that person then takes the offensive line and tries to work through some stuff. You saw him working with Darnell Wright on some moves to counter, you know, obviously some top-tier to rushers. But Washington as a whole, I mean, obviously, you know, he's not play calling. What do you think his thoughts have been on that?
Yeah, I mean, he has done some play calling in the preseason.
He has. Can you clarify this for us? And I want to get back to the Montez thing in a second, but yeah. I'm glad we're here. The play calling, because an article from February said that Eric Washington was totally happy to take this defensive coordinator job, knowing full well that Matt Eberflus was going to call the plays.
Yeah.
And so is that the case in the regular season? Is it not the case in the preseason? What do we know here about this?
Yeah, I can tell you, Matt Eberflus will call the plays during the regular season, and this is fairly common amongst head coaches. I mean, we saw it some when Matt Nagy was here, allowing some of his, oh, I don't remember who it was, DeFilippo, who he allowed to call plays for a game. I think Bill Lazor got a crack at it. I mean, am I conflating the Flus era maybe? But
no, you're on it.
Okay. Eric Washington, not going to call plays, but he has been doing it in the preseason. I was just going to say, I do think that Eric Washington eventually will be the defensive play caller for the Bears. Not this year.
Really?
Not this year. I just think that, look, man, if this is assuming it works out. Like, it's so far so good with Eric Washington. Everything you guys are saying is right about him. He's very authoritative. He's great with the media. He seems really intelligent. He's a good motive. Checks all of those boxes. But he's a defensive coordinator. Of course he wants to call plays. So I think that after this year, I think that that's something that they should reevaluate. And he was talking about, too, today, about how the play calling has helped him with Matt Eberflus. Here it is.
It gives me an opportunity to just delve into, you know, how Coach Flus sees the game and how we intend to utilize some of the things that are a part of our package. How do we intend to address situations? It gave me a chance to really work through the operations piece on the sideline with this particular staff and with Coach Eberflus. And so just that the conversation back and forth has been invaluable. And it'll really help me to help him and to help our defense on Sunday.
That's really cool. I love the dynamic. I feel like, Grody, that calling plays kind of reinvigorated Eberflus. Like, everybody talks about the glow up, but we've seen a more connected, kind of like normal version of him. Like, I feel like he was trying to be the CEO head coach who just kind of lets everybody do his thing. And and he's talked about it. He was feeling disconnected. And then calling the plays, it's like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm bringing.
I think it might have saved his job, quite frankly. I mean, what is he putting in front of them resume wise after what went down last season? Like, what is he saying if he's not saying, look, I called the plays and the defense was good?
Yeah.
So, and the, you know, I do think though that if you are a head coach and he's not calling plays, we know that, you know, he's not one of these offensive schematic geniuses. So I allow for offensive coaches to call plays, but I think in an ideal world, Matt Eberflus can move closer to being a complete head coach. We know, and after watching Hard Knocks, you guys know the opening scene is Matt Eberflus sitting there talking to Caleb Williams and making a big deal about how he's working with the offense more and things like, and he wants to be thought of that way. So I think eventually it probably helped Matt Eberflus to pass on the play calling. And look, the way Eric Washington has been calling plays, he's out here dialing up just about every position at this point. So and maybe that's Flus, but guess what? It looks like Eric Washington is capable of calling plays.
Well, I'll say this, going back to the Montez Sweat teaching the offensive linemen some things, I am a sucker for that kind of vibe in a football camp. A really in any kind of camp, like, you know, like when the hitters, you know, are talking to the pitchers about, by the way, this is how I look to attack you when you were on another team, or that kind of thing. It's like when everybody gives a crap enough and the communication lines are solid enough to really share with people, the ceiling gets higher.
I thought that was incredible. I mean, we hear it and we talk about how the defense is making the Bears offense better and all of that, and these guys are all friends. But when you hear something as specific as what Washington said that Montez Sweat did in talking about protection concepts, and this is Montez Sweat this is a guy who likes being with the Bears and thinks the Bears are going to win. Otherwise, he would not be passing those things on. So I think that's the most, like, if you're a Bears fan and you're hearing that and you want to know how to interpret it, the interpretation is Montez Sweat wants to damn win here with the Bears, and he will give information to the offense if he has to.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah. It's like the offensive line is, you know, they're in school and they're flipping to the back of the book to get the answers, you know what I mean? And then Montez Sweat is right there on that page like, hey, this is what you should have did in this situation, bro. I think that's ultimately what you want. But you know, girl, speaking of this offensive line, right?
I love your Montez Sweat impersonation, by the way. It was really good. The high pitch.
Make sure you do that when you see him too, so you can know that it's there. Oh, but with this offensive line, Groats, I mean, whether Montez Sweat has shown him what to do or not, I mean, do you feel, I mean, obviously, they have to be ready, right? But in your heart of hearts, do you feel like they're ready to protect QB1 Caleb Williams?
Man, I don't know the answer to that, Gabe, but I do know this. I mean, if you watch the play calling of Shane Waldron, Caleb Williams ain't hanging out in the pocket a whole lot yet, and he's going to have to do more of that. And when we see a complete game where Caleb Williams is in for four quarters, that's when we're going to find out. But I think the good news is, my point is that you can see with what they are doing, they are allowing Caleb Williams to be Caleb Williams, in part to improvise, but also getting him out of the pocket. So I think they're already preparing some fail safes if things go wrong. I don't think the Bears have a bad offensive line. In fact, you know, Nate Davis, we'll see. You know, he was in practice today, full participation again.
Woo!
Played in the game the other day. yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I know.
Yay!
Like
slow clap.
It's like he's practicing every day. Almost. It's pretty amazing. So I think that, you know, and Braxton Jones has been fine in practice as well. And, you know, Coleman Shelton has been the center just about every day. And there does not appear to be too many issues at this point.
Okay. You know,
Darnell Wright looks good on the right side. So I'm okay with the offensive line. I'm not saying they're great. I'm okay with it, though.
All right. Take us to the backup quarterback, Scroats.
Yeah, man, Tyson Bagent. I was like, I don't know, what am I going to get out of these guys today? Am I going to be able to entertain the afternoon show with Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien? But I am going to be able to because
thank God.
Tyson, I know.
I've been very unentertained to this point. No offense.
And now that we're talking Brett Rypien, I'm all in.
No. One guy at a time here, Gabe. That we're going Tyson Bagent first. Don't just try to
I heard his name. I heard his name.
He's new. Cut him
some No. Well, hey, when Gabe and I used to host shows together, G&G, baby. He used to always talk about Brett Rypien. You got to get Brett Rypien on that roster. He's like, I don't care if he's on the practice squad. It was what Gabe would say. So, but let's get back to Tyson Bagent. And I loved what Bagent was saying today, man. I think he's tired of hearing about what college he went to and how hard life is for him. He's basically saying here in this cut, don't try to typecast me at this point. He's got goals.
As you visualize your NFL career, what do you visualize?
I can't tell y'all that. Y'all think I'm crazy. I mean, I got ridiculous, unbelievable aspirations that go far deeper than what I've been able to do so far. I just don't want to be somebody who people look at and think are, you know, just grateful for that he just made the team or just he's a fringe guy. You know, I don't want to be looked at that. I don't think that's who I am. And it just kind of puts me in the headspace of just a limitless mindset, not like a limited mindset.
You don't want to give us one detail? You don't want to give us one detail about your goals?
No.
Damn. Good for him, man.
Really good for him, right? Because it is the story.
I remember being a producer at The Score and thinking I wanted to be an afternoon host. Didn't say it out loud to everybody, necessarily.
It's true. Like, honestly, like, sometimes people will ask that. They've always, you guys have both met. Hey, what do you want to ultimately do? Like, what's your, I'm like, I'm not telling you. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what, just in case I don't get there. So, but, you know, Tyson Bagent is clearly a guy who takes himself very seriously, which is good. And I'm not making fun of him in any way, shape, or form. He thinks that he is a QB1 in this league. He, you know, and I asked him during the press conference, you know, just from watching HBO Hard Knocks last night and the time that he spends with Caleb and even uttering something about that in HBO Hard Knocks, talking about how he, you know, he wants to be more than he is. He's supporting. And, you know, he said that, yeah, of course, he wants to be a number one quarterback someday.
It would be his just awareness in the pocket. I think he has a good understanding while looking downfield of the rush lanes that are being taken and the ones that could potentially be opened up. So I think he does a good job of kind of feeling his way through the pocket, and that's something that I've been, you know, looking at pretty closely whenever he's in the game. That's
a little context on that, guys, really quickly.
Yeah.
Tyson Bagent was asked right there, what's one thing that you would take from Caleb Williams if you could? And he talks about the pocket awareness. How about that?
Yeah, no, the pocket awareness, the pocket presence that we're seeing from Caleb is something that every young quarterback would be looking at, and good for him as the second-year guy. Let's hear it again with that in context, Groats. Here it is.
It would be his just awareness in the pocket. I think he has a good understanding while looking downfield of the rush lanes that are being taken and the ones that could potentially be opened up. So I think he does a good job of kind of feeling his way through the pocket, and that's something that I've been, you know, looking at pretty closely whenever he's in the game.
I think ultimately when you're looking at Tyson Bagent, he does have the ultimate confidence, right? And you're trying to I think most people should, when they're in a room with someone, regardless if they're better or worse, try to pick up something from them. And it's clear that Tyson Bagent has done that. But he's not the only one in that quarterback room. Right, Groats? I mean, there's somebody else there that's trying to puff out his chest like a peacock and get some attention.
Your guy, Brett Rypien. And let me just set this up because you'll understand why when you hear the cut. Brett Rypien, he is 28 years old. He has played with the Broncos, Rams, Seahawks, and Jets. So he's been in those quarterback rooms, started his playing career, I believe, in 2019. Brett Rypien, there was asked about the quarterback room now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been the best collective group I think I've been with, you know, in terms of just trying to help each other out every single day. And, you know, for me, from my standpoint, being the oldest guy in the room, I think I've, you know, somewhat felt the responsibility to kind of spearhead that, because I don't, you know, with the rookies, I don't really think they knew what to expect coming into it. And, you know, for me, I think it's always important. You know, you do know that you're competing with these guys, but at the end of the day, like I said, you know, you just want to see everyone play well and, you know, put good film out there, because if you're helping each other out, you know, at the end of the day, like, you're going to find out something maybe that you need to know when you get on the field. So it's been awesome to work with these guys. They've been unbelievable.
That's the old guy. Brett Rippon's the old guy. What is he, 25?
28.
Well, he's 28.
Okay,
but that,
28.
But that kind of surprise. I sometimes forget that he's 28. Like, the fourth string quarterback or the third string quarterback usually is a guy that is, you know, 22, 23 years old, something like that. So yeah, he's.
They haven't bothered to bring in the really old salt, you know, who's there as the glorified coach. They haven't bothered to do that. And I think.
Andy Dalton and Nick Foles aren't at the door right now.
Exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. Chase Daniel. God bless him. I mean. Like, it's not that Brett Rippon is going to make an impact on this team, but just in the name of changing things up, I have no idea what it all means. But Brett Rippon, the nephew of the great Mark Rippon, who some people remember.
True. Do you have delicious Bears nuggets for us, Mark Grody?
I do. I have one for you, Spiegs, and I'm moving up in the order because you like things like this, and that is DeMarcus Walker, you know, who's been a menace to the offense this year and just
feisty.
Yelling and
feisty,
starting fights and yelling. And I saw DeMarcus Walker go to the offensive line and to every offensive player today while they were out on the field, shook every one of their hands individually. So I thought that was a nice moment by DeMarcus Walker. I've not seen him do that yet. Jaquan Brisker was back in practice today. Yeah, good old number 9 was back out there today, and he broke up a pass in the end zone intended for Roma Dunze, a third round rookie. I heard you guys mention this guy's name. Third round rookie Karan Amagaji was out there today doing very little, but he, you know, he had the shorts and shells on. An announcement: there will be a special pop up edition of Training Camp Live right after you guys go off the air. It was not originally scheduled.
I asked Speaks, I said, is Grody coming on again at 6? I literally just asked him.
I wasn't, but they said, hey, would you be interested in doing a Bears show? I'm like, stop talking. I'd be interested in doing a Bears show. So I'll
awesome.
Be on at 6 o'clock tonight talking Bears.
That is
up
outstanding. I love those pop-up restaurants that just kind of show up downtown sometimes. Is it themed? Is your Training Camp Live a themed pop-up, Grody?
It's not themed, but I have to put together all of my great pop-up shows. There's this one. There's the draft show. I can't
Those
even remember
good.
The name of that pop-up
on
show.
On the clock.
On the clock. Yes.
Grody.
Yeah. That's the thank you, Farringall. Mm-hmm. On the clock with Mark Grody. I am the king of the pop-up shows at the Score. We put up the tent and then we take it down. This might be one of the last editions of the show. So I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm very emotional right now.
And if I can make a suggestion,
yes,
Mr. Rippon, all hour long leading up to Cubs.
Nothing but
Rippon. Nothing but him. Yeah.
Should I just play the full Brett Rippon press conference? Is that what you're saying, Gabe?
Don't tease the listeners like that.
I'm sticking around after this shift.
I mean, there might be 1 to 3 people who remember his Uncle Mark.
I will tell you, I am going to be talking about, and I know we haven't talked, I'm sure you guys have talked a ton about Hard Knocks, but I'm going to start with something on Hard Knocks that has been persisting throughout the shows, and I'm not quite sure why they are doing this, and I don't believe I've heard it. Something that nobody's talking about. I'm going to be talking about as far as Hard Knocks is concerned in my show, the final pop up show at 6 o'clock.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay here and listen. Can I just stay here?
Should.
Can we just start it right now?
Start
at 5:30. Hey, you want to do a pop up 5:30 show?
Yeah. Hey, where's Stoddard? Stoddard, start the music. He's producing tonight. Start the music.
That's your guy. Groats, you're the best. Thank you, sir.
Bye, guys.
All right. See you. Mark Grody coming up at 6 o'clock with a special pop-up edition of Training Camp Live right here on 670 The Score. Gabe, I think as a society, we are overcomplicating a basic need for every male.
Okay.
And I need to discuss this with you and my other friends
I'm
here
in.
At The Score. All right. That's next on The Score.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Got a couple Cubs things want to run by you before the top of the hour. Mark Grody will be here with you, an impromptu edition of Training Camp Live. But Gabe, I don't know if you've noticed, but the design and the ingenuity, the theoretical ingenuity when it comes to men's wallets has exploded in a way too complicated way in American society. I lost my wallet about a week and a half ago, which is a drag. It's like
whole other story.
It's one of the worst things that can really happen to you as you know.
Was it a leave it somewhere or was it a fallout of somewhere?
It was a fallout while riding the Divvy bike to work, you know? So then it was...
You need a fanny pack, my friend.
I decided I needed a front pocket wallet. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because I'm not gonna do the fanny pack. I'll do respect to Caleb, but like
flip phone is a wallet.
Have
right
you
now?
Shopped for a wallet lately?
I have a money clip.
Show me.
This is it right here.
All right.
Bam.
So just
show the people on the camera right here. Boom. It has my wife got it for me. It has our anniversary on the money clip.
Oh, it's engraved.
And
that's lovely.
I always find that a wallet is too thick, but I do need my cards, right? Like my insurance card, my debit, credit, ID. And then if I have cash, I'll just slide it right in there.
Okay.
And then I have
everything. How about your Score pass that you need to use?
And the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was looking for a wallet and I ended up just buying one real fast because I was like, I need one. So I basically looked on the devil. I looked at Amazon and I wanted one that would get here within like a day.
Sure.
So I got one that it literally got there within like, I don't know, 45 minutes, something like that. And I was thrilled. And then I got it and I'm like, what the hell did I get? Actually, my wallet has a lever, has a button.
Yeah.
And a lever on it. It came with a screwdriver. My wallet came with a screwdriver.
Okay.
Because it's like, I can hit this button, Gabe, and my cards pop up.
Oh, wow.
From this little slot.
It's like a toaster and a flip phone at the same time. That's amazing.
It's completely unnecessary.
And the size of a phone. That's great.
It weighs, it's like a brick.
It's big, dude.
What the hell, man?
I don't know if you made the right decision.
What are we doing? I clearly did not. I should have looked, clearly, but like... I mean, the one thing is, though, it's a beautiful thing. Like, you have the pass on the outside,
so just,
and I no longer have to take it out of the wallet.
Yeah, that's clutch.
But what are we doing as a society? Have we overcomplicated something that does not need to be overcomplicated?
Yeah, especially now in 2024 where there's less things that we need, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you need to... But that's why men have now graduated to a man bag. You know what I mean? Like no one's like before you had a wallet and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But now you need a man bag because you got other stuff, right? So the wallet isn't as important. You know, the slenderness of it. It doesn't exist the same. You know
so
I mean?
Do you use the man bag?
I have a man bag.
All right. So what do you put in there? You put the ear pods.
I put my
the AirPods, the earbuds.
I put my earbuds. I got my wallet. I got my phone. I put that in there. I got my right here. This little tablet that I carry around with
me. You put all that in
yeah,
the man
I put
bag.
That in there.
Uh huh.
A little bit of this in there. You know what I mean?
You can say that out loud. It's legal.
A little weed in the bag. Uh-huh. You know, not for me. I just give my. I carry it around for whoever needs it.
For homeless people.
So some. Sometimes people need it, and you got to have it for them, but not me, though.
That's nice of you. That's good of you.
Very charitable. Thank you.
Yeah. Lighter. Robbie Triano is one of the guys I've given my... He's been a homeless man. So
oh, really?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Congratulations.
You never know.
You are turning
Thank
so
Thank you for
purple.
Helping the needy, Gabe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You're welcome.
You are turning so purple right now.
Listen, let's just say I know
everyone
here.
Because you're outing
here.
Robbie. You don't want to out Robbie. I understand.
Fine, it's me. It's me. Damn it. It's me. But
yeah.
You need a bag like that. You know what I mean? With like hidden compartments for
I guess
for certain things. You though, wallet is gonna. Do you have a man bag?
I have way too much wallet. I have ended up
it's
with
an understatement,
far with.
You have component. You have a Switch Army wallet.
I do. It's like a Leatherman. You know what I mean?
I push this button and some tokens come out. I push this one.
It does remember, but it literally came with a screwdriver. I'm like, my wallet should not come
is
with
it
a
hard?
Screwdriver.
Is it hard?
Yeah,
the flat part looks soft.
Yeah, it's coming at you. Coming at you.
Look, it's wow, that hurt.
There's some heft. My wallet should not hurt you when I throw it at you.
But the issue I have with this,
yes,
aside from the fact that you have a $2 bill on there, is
ow,
that's why I said it hurt.
Straight up hurt.
Is that it's creating a bulge in your pocket? Like
it really
if
is.
You like, that's why I like the money clip because it's thin, it's slender. You know what I mean?
Mm.
How about the gentleman over here, the younger guys? You guys got money clips or wallets or what?
Is leather wallet just out? Like, is it not hip anymore? Just have a full blown.
Did you just? Robbie Triano's wallet is like 7 inches thick. Yeah, it's out when it's that thick, my guy.
Yeah, I've been outed for my wallet. I have, like, my girlfriend, she's in law school, and, like, everyone around her is like 22, 23, and they make fun of me for this monstrosity. But I think it's reliable, holds everything I need.
And it doesn't fall out because you're not an idiot like me on a bike with no button on your back pants.
Tyler Farengaw is too young. He has no credit cards. He just has an ID. What do you carry your stuff
he's
in?
He's got no credit.
Leather wallet.
Yeah, he's with a
Bears
logo.
Got a Bears logo on a hell yeah.
Dude, now Bears leather wallet.
From when he was 12.
Now he's been outed.
No, Gabe, legit, that probably was how old I was when I got that.
Yeah,
we know. We all got that wallet at 12.
Is that a hand-me-down from Studs?
It's in the Bears store at Soldier Field.
With a nice big meatball on their speaks.
Oh, man.
I'm committed to the front pocket wallet thing.
That's a heavy commitment.
But I'm in now.
Well, especially because you don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get the chain connected to your, you know, little loops on your pants?
Yeah,
whatever.
That'd be a good look. Speaking of the screwdriver, by the way, my wife has
what was it for?
It's in case this thing breaks and I can't get the cards out. I think is the thing.
You got to break the wallet to get.
I guess. Okay. I don't know. It's just freaking ridiculous. My wife has this bracelet. Somebody gave her. It's a Cartier bracelet, which is quite lovely.
Okay.
But it doesn't come off. You need to use a screwdriver.
I've seen that.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, of course.
So it just stays
on. They welded on them, yeah.
Yeah, they welded on them, but it does come with a screwdriver in case you want to take it off.
That's funny.
But she has now. She does not like sleeping with it. So every night, she's using the screwdriver to take this thing off.
Are you serious? I thought she was wearing a wristband
like,
at night.
What are we doing
that's terrible.
Here?
I had a guy in New Orleans. It was if you really want to get rid of the wallet, maybe you could take this approach, Speaks.
Okay.
There was a guy in New Orleans. I'm eating at a diner, you know, whatever. And he's like, I see his hand and it's got this like little bulge on it, like right here between the index finger and the thumb.
Mm.
And what he did was he had his debit card programmed into a chip, like one of those ones that you can just scan on something, like NSF or whatever. No, that's something else. But he had it implanted right here in his hand.
Oh, you're kidding me.
In his hand. So then he was showing us when I was sitting at the diner. He's like, yeah, when I want to pay for something, I just put my hand over the...
His hand is the chip.
Is the chip. She's like, so I never have to bring my wallet anywhere. I just got that.
Talk about the future. I think I read that in a Ray Bradbury novel in like 1978.
I think I've watched a couple of movies on that.
Seriously?
On that.
It's like a Philip K. Dick short story. Wow, that's freaking
so
crazy.
Just in case I'm saying, so if you, you know, you don't want the bulge, you know, in the pocket and you want to maybe, you know, just like, you know, become a little lighter, you can just have a chip implanted in your hand.
Checking the scoreboard and the standings so you don't have to give you a realistic picture on what the Cubs need to do over the next few weeks. We'll do that next before we get out of here for Mark Grody at the top of the hour on The Score.
We're back with more of The Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
The Cubs with Jameson Taillon on the mound get the Tigers coming up a little bit later. You'll hear it right here on 670 The Score. Obviously, tonight the Cubs continue their series against the Tigers. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And by the way, Chicago baseball fans, come on out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo tomorrow from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside, so be ready to talk baseball with Ozzie. That's tomorrow at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. Gabe, the Cubs have 14 more against under 500 teams, two with the Tigers, and then it's the Pirates and the Nationals and the Marlins, nine games on the road in 10 days, and then back for three more with the Pirates, hoping the Pirates shut down Paul Skeens. They don't need him to pitch anymore, don't you think?
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that, and then the Cubs will be here for the Yankees in the first weekend of September, then they go out to see the Dodgers. But time is now. I said 12-3 is what they need to do in those 15 games. Good start last night with the first win against Detroit.
Yeah, and then just want to piggyback off of that. You know, the Cubs do face the Yankees and the Dodgers, but after that, it's Colorado, it's the A's, it's Washington again, and then you end your season against Cincinnati.
It is the easiest schedule of anybody in MLB between now and the end of the season. They do have the easiest schedule of anyone in MLB.
Yeah, so if they can continue to pile these things together, I mean, you know, again, I tend to lean on momentum. And I think last year at this time, the Cubs didn't have any of it. And when you're talking about where they are in the present, just roster construction and falling into where you should be, I feel like I'm seeing a more complete Cubs team in the present than I have all season long. And I do think that there's something about Craig Counsell. When he talked earlier today in the show, which you guys, I want to encourage you guys to go listen to that on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it was good today. Craig Counsell was real good today.
And specifically talking about the closer situation, where he was, you know, there was no need to be committed to a particular pitcher to close every game, as he mentioned. He said one could emerge, but that lets me know he's extremely confident in the guys in the back end, as he should be, because as you mentioned, since June 1st, Cubs having the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. So again, I think if you can, I mean, last night, three scoreless innings from the bullpen, right? If your starting pitch is going to continue to pitch well, if your bullpen is going to do that, and the defense yesterday, right? We didn't even talk about that a ton. The defense was great yesterday. And it's exactly what the Cubs wanted, a really good defense with solid pitching and a bullpen that can get the job done at the back end. So they are in that rhythm right now. So that's where the confidence comes from. Whether they can catch up to the teams in front of them is the major question.
I'll tell you one thing that I am holding on to a little bit, and you've been trying all show to get me to get on the bandwagon, the Cubs can still do this, is Craig Tember. The Brewers, since 2015, have won 58% of their games in September. They've won 52% of their games in all the other months. They win more in September. Why did that happen? Is it just that they had Josh Hader and Devin Williams at the back end of that bullpen? It's a nice thing to have. Or is it because, as some have surmised, dude gets to know his team by this point in the year. He really gets to know his team, gets to know the strengths and the weaknesses, really can put people in the best position to succeed, and maximizes the optimal matchups to get some wins in September. That's a fun thing to think about, because there are hints of that kind of thing. The bullpen coming together on the fly as it has is really impressive. You know, what they have figured out, and there's good additions, obviously, like Jorge Lopez and Hector Neris, but like using people in better situations is intriguing. The way the starting pitching has kind of settled in. The fact that some of those players who should not have been here and maybe were as a nod to Jed and Carter, like Nick Madrigal, have not come back. Like Miles Mastroboni is not here.
Yeah.
I know he's not using Patrick Wisdom that much, but he's very careful about when he uses him. You know,
like a scratch start for Isak Paredes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or a matchup against a particular lefty at a particular time in the game. It's interesting. So I'll give that a touch of credence. Gabe Ramirez, thanks, buddy. This is fun.
It's always fun. And it was very nice.
Yes, it was nice.
It was nice.
And thank you for being here. Thank you to the mob and the listeners for being a part of things. I'm out tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow, the Cubs have a day game. Rami Makhlouf will have you for the shorty tomorrow. And then I'm back next week, Monday, Tuesday, with Anthony Herron. Wednesday with Mark Grody. We've got Caleb Williams on the show on Wednesday. I'll be doing Hit and Run on Sunday morning, as well as the next Sunday morning after that, Labor Day weekend. And I think that's the last Hit and Run as the Bears take over. over on a Sunday morning. Thank you to our guests on the show today. Roy Wood Jr. was absolutely hilarious and very fun. Craig Council, real good at 2:30. Go back and listen to it and check it out. Adam Hoag from CHGO was terrific talking Bears at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Mark Grody with the Bears Report. And he's coming up next with his training camp live. Thank you to Tyler Farengold for doing a great job. Thank you to Robbie Triano for absolutely killing it as our executive producer. Have a wonderful few days, a wonderful night. To all of you, for Gabe Ramirez, I'm Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score.
First one in the home.
It's a great one.
I understand. It's just I hate to run. Yeah, I'm keeping it. I'm just going to hold it. Yeah, I'm just going to hold it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You know, again, I tend to lean on momentum. And I think last year at this time, the Cubs didn't have any of it. And when you're talking about where they are in the present, just roster construction and falling into where you should be, I feel like I'm seeing a more complete Cubs team in the present than I have all season long. And I do think that there's something about Craig Counsell. When he talked earlier today in the show, which you guys, I want to encourage you guys to go listen to that on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it was good today. Craig Council was real good today.
And specifically talking about the closer situation where he was, you know, there was no need to be committed to a particular pitcher to close every game. As he mentioned, he said one could emerge, but that lets me know he's extremely confident in the guys in the back end, as he should be, because as you mentioned, since June 1st, Cubs having the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. So again, I think if you can, I mean, last night, 3 scoreless innings from the bullpen, right? If your starting pitch is going to continue to pitch well, if your bullpen's going to do that, and the defense yesterday, right? We didn't even talk about that a ton. The defense was great yesterday. And it's exactly what the Cubs wanted, a really good defense with solid pitching and a bullpen that can get the job done at the back end. So they are in that rhythm right now. So that's where the confidence comes from. Whether they can catch up to the teams in front of them is the major question.
I'll tell you one thing that I am holding on to a little bit, and you've been trying all show to get me to get on the bandwagon, the Cubs can still do this, is Craig Tember. The Brewers, since 2015, have won 58% of their games in September. They've won 52% of their games in all the other months. They win more in September. Why did that happen? Is it just that they had Josh Hader and Devin Williams at the back end of that bullpen? It's a nice thing to have. Or is it because, as some have surmised, dude gets to know his team by this point in the year. He really gets to know his team, gets to know the strengths and the weaknesses, really can put people in the best position to succeed and maximizes the optimal matchups to get some wins in September. That's a fun thing to think about, because there are hints of that kind of thing. The bullpen coming together on the fly as it has is really impressive. You know, what they have figured out, and there's good additions, obviously, like Jorge Lopez and Hector Neris, but like using people in better situations is intriguing. The way the starting pitching has kind of settled in. The fact that some of those players who should not have been here and maybe were as a nod to Jed and Carter, like Nick Madrigal, have not come back. Like Miles Mastroboni is not here.
Yeah.
I know he's not using Patrick Wisdom that much, but he's very careful about when he uses him. You know,
like a scratch start for Isak Paredes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or a matchup against a particular lefty at a particular time in the game. It's interesting. So I'll give that a touch of credence. Gabe Ramirez, thanks, buddy. This is fun.
It's always fun. And it was very nice.
Yes. Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice.
And thank you for being here. Thank you to the mob and the listeners for being a part of things. I'm out tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow, the Cubs have a day game. Rami Makhlouf will have you for the shorty tomorrow. And then I'm back next week, Monday, Tuesday, with Anthony Herron. Wednesday with Mark Grody. We've got Caleb Williams on the show on Wednesday. I'll be doing Hit and Run on Sunday morning, as well as the next Sunday morning after that, Labor Day weekend. And I think that's the last Hit and Run as the Bears take over on a Sunday morning. Thank you to our guests on the show today. Roy Wood Jr. was absolutely hilarious and very fun. Craig Counsell, real good at 2:30. Go back and listen to it and check it out. Adam Hoge from CHGO was terrific talking Bears at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Mark Grody with the Bears Report. And he's coming up next with his training camp live. Thank you to Tyler Farengold for doing a great job. Thank you to Robbie Triano for absolutely killing it as our executive producer. Have a wonderful few days, a wonderful night to all of you. For Gabe Ramirez, I'm Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score.
First one in the home.
It's a great one.
I understand. It's just I hate to run. Yeah, I'm keeping it. I'm just going to hold it. Yeah, I'm just going to hold it.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.